Amen. And don't let the crisis numb you. Don't let the crisis numb you. There's a hero inside of you. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Let that hero come out. Let that one that is righteous and holy and just on the inside, let him come out and let him share with others, encourage others during these times. Let me say this. I love your theme, refocus. You know, what you focus on expands. What you focus on expands. Hey, you can see that through this crisis. I mean, if you watch CNN and Fox and ABC and all the news channels and you watch that, you know what happens? You're going to be shut up in your house and you're going to be afraid and scared to death that everybody has COVID. You are. And when you look at plagues, I'm going to talk about one this morning. When you look at real, true, God-honest plagues, we're nowhere near the number of people that dies with this one. And I'm thankful for that. I don't want to see people die early. But for some reason, we listen to the numbers. I just sent a text out. My phone's down there. I was just at a small family reunion yesterday in Marion County. The sister was there, the sister of the lady who types out all of the death reports for Marion County. And she said the entire month of March, not one person in Marion County died that on their death certificate did not get placed COVID-19. Are you kidding me? You're going to tell me all the people that live in Marion County, the only thing that killed all of them is COVID-19? Are you kidding me? So what you focus on expands. What you focus on expands. Sometimes it expands because people are liars sometimes, you know? And they want it to be big. They wanted to shut everything down. And now the political party grabs a hold to it and it gets even worse. What you focus on expands. What you don't focus on shrinks. You know, when I was a kid, we used to hear a lot of preaching about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture. You're hard-pressed to hear that in sermons anymore. And you know what? There ain't a lot of people thinking about Jesus coming back. I hope that we as Christians walk outside in the morning and we look to the sky and we say, Lord, today could be the day. Amen. We're to search for His coming. We're to seek for His coming. We're to think about Jesus is coming again someday. Amen. What you focus on expands. What you don't focus on does not expand. And you know, we need traction. You know, God's work and the work of the Lord. The word traction has the word action in it. It's moving forward. But there's another word that has action. It's called distraction. And distraction has with it the word dis, which means I'm moving back. I'm moving the wrong direction. Amen? Hey, look, during COVID-19, yeah, let this time be a time of refocus. I hope that you've learned some things. I'm hoping that you've invested in yourself. Man, what a great time to get alone with God and spend time alone with God. But I hope you're learning to invest in other people. My wife and I, we 17 weeks ago is when all this happened. I had just left Martinsburg, West Virginia. I went there for a weekend. It's a chapter that was having a 15-year anniversary, and I was there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the RU director wasn't there with me because he thought he had COVID-19 and was home. Finds out he didn't have it, but he was real sick, and they quarantined him. Well, then by the time I got home, 17 weeks ago, the state of Illinois started shutting everything down. I mean, everything was shut down. It happened on Friday. I never forget on Friday. They put a mandatory, not more than 20 people together in one location or something. It was some absurd, maybe 10. It was a very, very small. I think it was 10. And so we met together with pastor and the staff, and we're like, okay, what are we going to do on Friday night? We averaged 250 people in our Friday night RU. And so we decided, well, we're going to have to get the word out that we can't. It was 25. I remember now it was 25 because we got the word out through Facebook, and we had our leaders call their students. And guess how many people was in the auditorium on Friday night? 25. That's exactly what was in there, 25. And to me, that was, okay, Lord, you're in charge here. Amen? And for weeks now, for weeks and weeks and weeks, 17, 16, 15, 14 weeks, we had 25 people in the auditorium. Could have had 250, but we surrounded 25. I decided, you know, we already got our live stream. We average about 1,000 people online on Friday nights. Normally without the COVID-19 going on. And so we started pumping some advertising dollars into our website, into our live stream, and into our Facebook. You know, we're averaging right now, every week it goes up, but we're averaging 25 to 30,000 people live on Friday night listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I give my personal cell phone number. And I'm telling you, day and night, my phone rings to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I had 6 calls yesterday because people watched it after the fact. And I was just determined. I was not going to sit back. I was not going to hunker down. This is a time, for some reason, God's allowed all this to happen. And I tell you, the doors are open for us to get the gospel out. Amen. During this time, preacher, our ministry before 17 weeks ago, we had accumulated quite a bit of debt. You know, it's hard trying to keep all these ministries going. And besides our mortgage, we had gotten late on some payments, and things were really, really financially, we were behind the eight ball with some of our vendors and things like that. I'm talking to the neighborhood of $200,000. And I can't explain it, but the National Ministry of RU in the last 17 weeks, we're debt-free right now. We don't owe anybody a dime. The only thing we owe is our mortgage. God did that. I can't explain it, but God did. And you know what you focus on expands. We decided on Friday nights we would bring in some singers, and they would sing 3 or 4 songs. And during those songs, we would talk about a warrior project. And we're trying to get people to be a part of what we call the warrior project. And a warrior is somebody actively involved in a battle. And we thought, you know, we don't want a lot of money. We just need each of them to give $10 a month. $10 a month, that's all. And so we started advertising that, and we had 50 people sign up to be a warrior, and then we had 100, and then we had 250, and then we had 300. And some of them didn't listen to a word we said, because the first check we got in wasn't 10 bucks. It was 10,000 bucks. I'm like, that guy has hard of hearing or something, you know, something. What you focus on expands. And if you just sit back and you just hunker down and you just, you know, catch up on all the sleep you've missed and catch up on all the movies on Netflix, what you focus on is going to expand. But if you'll focus and refocus on God and the things of God, this is a great... Hey, we ought to come out of this thing not doing less for Jesus Christ. We ought to come out of this thing doing more for Jesus Christ. Amen? We've got a book that will help us in all these things. I think about refocus. I think about, you know, the old saying, you know, if a guy's rabbit hunting, you got to pick your rabbit. Because if you've got 2 rabbits and you're focusing on both of them, you ain't going to get either one of them. You got to pick your rabbit. Hey, folks, it's time. This wake-up call, this crisis time, is a refocusing time for you and I to pick our rabbit. Amen? What's really important? What do we put before us? What do we put behind us? And what are we going to focus on? Well, today I want to focus on Numbers chapter 16, if you'll turn there. Moses in this chapter was dealing with the Israelites. They've been delivered out of a place called bondage in Egypt, and they're in the wilderness, and the Israelites were murmuring and complaining, the Bible says. Korah had gotten together some others that began to oppose leadership and oppose Moses and the direction he was going to go. And he called together others, and they accused Moses of pride and accused Moses of favoritism. And they brought 250 leaders of the congregation, men of renown, the Bible says, men like Korah, and they brought them before the crowd. And you know how God did. He opened up the earth and they swallowed up. When Moses heard about this, he fell on his face and began to pray. What you focus on expands. He began to pray. The ground split apart and swallowed them up. And this was just Korah, Nathan, and Abram. And they were all destroyed along with their families. That's where we pick up this text the very next day. Look at chapter 16, verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Ye have killed the people before the Lord." The very next day, they continue with their murmuring. Why? Because what you focus on expands. This is a wake-up call. Verse 42, "And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared." Now, what that means is God wants to talk to y'all. In verse 43, Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 44, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," verse 45, "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." God says, "Okay, I'm done. I'm done. Moses, Aaron, y'all get out of there, because I'm getting ready to destroy every single one of them. I'm done." I wonder how far America is from that time. I wonder how far America is from that time where he'll say to his son, "Son, go get my children. I'm done." And don't you think one moment that there's no such thing as a rapture? Scripturally, there is a rapture. We will be called out of here. As the Bible tradition is, I'm not saying we may not go through more persecution, and I'm not saying persecution is not on the way, but what I am saying, before he says, "I'm done with them," and the 7 years of tribulation starts, we're going to be out of here. And we leave, the Spirit of God leaves. And this world's going to be a terrible place. "Get you up from among the congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a censer," verse 46, "and put fire therein from off the altar, and put in the incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun." Verse 47. "And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made the atonement for the people. And he stood," notice these words, "between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this congregation. Thank you for the privilege. How I woke up this morning wanting to go to church. Thank you for that song. Thank you for the privilege to ecclesia, to come together. Lord, you've called us to do this without a shadow of a doubt. And we're thankful for the wisdom of some of the older folk to to be a little bit more patient as this thing passes. We ask for your grace upon them and your mercies. We thank you for those that are here and the faith that they've demonstrated this morning. Please protect us and please help us. Lord, I pray that faith would move us. We would refocus on the things of God and the will of God and the work of God. And this morning, God, you would help us to learn from this story. I pray that you'll help us to focus, refocus, like Moses did and like Aaron did in this story. Do something special in our hearts. Prepare us to be like a Moses and Aaron in this day and age which we live. Lord, we need somebody with enough faith to go out in the middle of the plague, believing that God will protect us. God will take care of us. We need to give the gospel. We need to get ministries back up and rolling, Lord. We pray you give wisdom to pastors and direction for pastors, Lord, that the doors will be open and the things will be motivated and restarted and moving for the glory of God. Would you do a mighty work in this place? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word plague here is an infectious disease. Look it up in the Bible, you see that word. It's an infectious disease caused by a bite, created from some rodent. It could be a rat, it could be a bat, whatever. That's what the word plague actually means here. In 1858, one of the worst plagues America ever experiences was started in China. 15 million people died from that bubonic plague. 15 million people. And they were bitten. I want to tell you, there's some people that have been bitten by another plague. And I'm not talking about a physical plague. I'm not talking about one that'll make you sick, like the coronavirus sick. But there's a plague that bites many and it destroys their bodies. It destroys their soul. It destroys their marriages. It robs them of joy. It attacks them. It hurts them. And it all starts with a bite. Somebody attacked us. Somebody denied us. Somebody abused us. Somebody pointed us out. Somebody abandoned us. Somebody rejected us. Somebody did something that we just can't get beyond, that we're stuck. Everything, all the decisions we make in the future, somehow that event always weaves into the thinking process. We think on it, so it expands. And it may have happened 20 years ago, but it affects me 20 years later. Most dangerous part of any plague is 2 to 7 days after you've been bitten, because that's when the symptoms begin to show up. It's dangerous then, but because you're carrying bitterness that you're going to give to others. I want to remind you about this plague in number 16. The Bible says in verse 41, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel, notice the next word, murmured. The word murmur means to stop over. It means to lodge. It means you can't move on. You couldn't get past your past. You couldn't walk away from the pain and the suffering. It took root in your life and you couldn't get past it. It creates a harvest. This plague creates a harvest and all kinds of ill effects. Look at verse 44. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among the congregation, that I may consume you in a moment, them in a moment. I love that little phrase. Moses tells Aaron, oh, quick, go get the altar of incense. Go get the incense and put it upon you and run out in the midst of the people. And he says here, he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. Faith was summons to the forefront. The refocus summons us to get back in the forefront. Amen? Don't pretend that it's not going on, but don't let it scare you. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind, the Bible says. Moses said, Aaron, go get it and go stand out there in the middle of it. And Moses couldn't stay back himself. He went with him. Let me say a couple things about this and be done this morning. Living things have a future. Dead things only have a past. Living things have a future. But only dead things have a past. We fail to separate the future from the past many times in our life. Do we have the courage to walk down in the plague, the pain, the losses, and refocus on the future? Or are we still just talking about the past? Focus on the living things, not the dead things. If you notice, our news likes to bring up the past. They like to live in the past. Living things are always future-based. Dead things are always past-based. Aaron took Moses and he says, come go down there and I want you to stand right in the middle where you can view both. I want you to view the living and I want you to view the dead. I love verse 47. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. Behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made the atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. I want to tell you, God's people have the unique ability to see both. Amen? We have the spiritual living on the inside of us, and we can stand right in the middle, pain on one side, and yes, disgust on one side, but we have the ability to see the other side. Amen? We have the ability to see what God can do in that person's life. That song reminded me of when they went to church. You see me at my worst. And yet the love of God is mentioned there because it's a wonderful thing when you let those catastrophic, difficult days, when you bring them and you place Jesus Christ right down in the middle. It's a perfect place to introduce somebody to Jesus. Amen. Funeral homes are wonderful places to introduce people to Jesus. And difficult days are wonderful places to introduce people to Jesus. And so he says, I want you to run down there, get amongst the people. We're not leaving. We're not forsaken. Let's stay around them. Let's get right down in the middle of them. Let's go right down in the middle of the pain. The past mistakes, the regrets. Right in the middle. Right now, let's go, Aaron, quick. Don't turn there, but let me read Psalm 91 and see if this bears witness with you. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. He says, don't you be afraid. Amen. Don't you be afraid. I'm asking you to stand in between like Moses and Aaron did that day. Have the courage to look through your life and let God use everything in your life to help somebody else. Don't shove that burden deeper. Don't shove that hurt deeper. Don't cover it up. Don't keep trying to cover it up for it only somehow to uncover itself every so often. Often I say this statement. I say, the circumstances of your life is the vehicle God uses to deliver His choicest messages. Let me just say it this way. The bad circumstances, the difficult circumstances, the difficult days is the perfect vehicle that God wants to use to deliver His greatest messages in your life. Some of you have been addicted to drugs. Some of you have been addicted to cigarettes. Some of you have been addicted to pornography. Some of you have been addicted to some terrible things. And yet you fought God in the middle of that situation, and God delivered you. And He wants to use that testimony in today's vernacular, in today's time, to see somebody made free. Amen? He said, well, we don't have an RU program anymore. Okay, then do it one-on-one. Preacher opened the door for you. You can meet them here. But use those difficult times in the past in your life. Don't try to cover them up. And if you can't, then you need to take somebody that knows how to stand in the middle between the dead and the living, the things that have life and the things that have no life, and come in there with you and help you process that until it can be used for the glory of God. Amen? Turn to Romans chapter 4. We talked about the plague. We could talk all day about the plague, but let's go over to the promise. Look at Romans chapter 4. Because there was a promise here. I mean, Moses knew enough of God and enough about God that he knew where to refocus, because for God so loved the world. Amen. He knew the heart of God was loving people, longing to bring people to himself. Remember the story where another man named Abraham and Lot chose the well-watered plains, and you know the story. And God was going to destroy, and Abraham went before the Lord. Lord, if there be 100 people, I forgot the exact numbers, I can look it up, but you know, 50 and then 20 and then 10 righteous men, would you deliver the nation? Remember the story? I think Abraham was standing in the middle between the dead and the living. Amen? Look at Romans 4:16. The Bible says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Amen? To the end, the promise might be sure all to all the seed. That's Christ in you. Amen? That's Christ Jesus living inside of you and me. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of all of us, of us all. You know the song, Father Abraham, have many sons? Let's stand and sing that together. No, just kidding. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead. What did God do? He quickened the dead. Amen? I mean, it was a long time ago that God told Abraham, you're going to be the father of a great nation. And years went by, and years went by, and years went by. And finally, Abraham concocted some plan to help God out. You know the story of Hagar, right? You know how that ended. Terrible. And then more years went by. Here's Ishmael. He's alive. And years went by. And now Sarah can't have any children. She's beyond that childbearing years. And Abraham is beyond the ability to have children. But God promised he'd be a father of a great nation. Remember? Remember the story? And all of a sudden, she got pregnant. It happened. And Isaac was born. Remember the story where Isaac was, and God told Abraham, take Isaac up to the mountain and take thy son, thine only son. And I wonder if he had to say it that way, because in Abraham's mind, he's like, okay, I got two of them. No, you know which one I'm talking about. You take that one. The one that's going to be the father of a great nation. The one that's going to have many, 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 many sons and grandsons. You take that one. Where's the sacrifice? God will provide himself a sacrifice. And by the way, he did. Amen? Well, just story after story in the Bible, you see people standing between the living and the dead. And so This story in Romans 4, it looks back on that and says, hey, there's something I want you to know about God. He is able to quicken the dead. Amen. Oh. And He's able to call those things which be not as though they were. In other words, they did not exist, but they do now. Amen. There was death, but now there's life. There was no life, but now there's life. Why? Because He's the one that quickens the dead. Amen. Look at verse 8. Who against hope? That means they've lost all hope. They want to bury it. But no, they lost all hope that He might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith. Boy, if we're going to refocus, we got to have faith. Amen? Faith is not what you do. Faith is what God does. Faith is not your abilities being tried and put to the test. No, no, no. Faith is God's ability. It's my response to His ability. It's me responding not to what I can do, but what He can do. And when I walk into somebody's life and try to help them, encourage them, and I'm standing between the living and the dead and the dead and the living, it's not me that's standing there, it's Him that's standing there. And He's able to quicken. Show shall thy seed be, and be not weak in faith. He considered not His own body now dead when He was about 100 years old. Couldn't produce any child, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, but he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. Hey, you want to talk about refocus? That verse right there is one you ought to underline, one you ought to bring to the forefront of your mind during times like this. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He also was able also to perform. Amen. What's the prayer, impossible prayers? What's the impossible? God is the God of the impossible. Amen? That old chapter reminds me of Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He hath which began a good work and you will perform it in the day of Jesus Christ. He can look at those things that say, that's dead. He says, that's all right. God can make it come forth as life. Amen? He can look at marriages. Oh, that's dead. He can bring them back to life. We see that happen in RU. We see lives transformed. We see people that come to God and He is a reward of them that diligently seek Him. And we see them restore their marriages and restore their jobs and give them careers and use them in mighty, mighty ways. And we say, glory to God. Amen. That's what we're to do. Remember when Elijah stretched out over that dead corpse? God brought him back to life. Amen. Remember when Lazarus was dead and was in the tomb 3 days and he was stinking? God showed up and He rose him from the dead. Amen. Remember Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Remember the dry bones in the Old Testament? They can live again. Why? Why can they live again? Because we serve a God who quickens the dead. He can do that to your mind. He can bring peace back to your life. He can bring joy back to your life. He can bring that job back to you. He can give you that career. He can heal your marriage. I promise you, it's not too late. I don't know who that was for today, but it was for somebody here. It's for somebody. You young people, I pray you'll listen to me this morning. Refocus. What you focus on expands. Keep your mind stayed upon Jesus. That's where hearts are truly blessed. finding, as He promised, perfect peace and rest. How do you know? Because His promises are awesome. Amen. They're awesome. Turn back to number 17 in closing. I want to show you the very next chapter. He's able to deliver us. He's able to do great and mighty things during these days. And I tell you, 17 weeks ago when this thing hit and I had to close down class, a class of 250 down to 25, and we struggled with 25, and I sat there, and my wife's like, well, honey, this is the first time you've been home every week for 20 years. And she had a honey to-do list. And I got up in the morning, and I fixed my driveway. I had big crevice holes, and I poured concrete, and fixed my driveway, and then I finished the garage, and we put in new carpet and put in new flooring on the main floor, and we got all that stuff done. But at the same time, all that refocusing was going on to try to please my wife. I'm thinking, how can we build that online audience? How can we have people calling us to want to be saved? Started paying for Facebook ads and started calling our chapters who couldn't meet anymore, asking them to tune in. And then we asked them to start sharing their page while they're watching and liking their page while they're watching. And hundreds and tens of thousands begin to come on. And man, I tell you, it's just been amazing to watch. I'm a nobody. I may have preached in my lifetime in the Philippines and had... At one time I preached there, I had 10,000 people. But I'm telling you, as a preacher of the gospel, 44 years in the Lord, and 40 of those years I've been preaching. And never, ever have I preached to 25,000 people, 30,000 people at one time like I get the privilege to do now. Because I decided I'm going to refocus. And what you focus on expands. You can sit around and look at the dead and the dying and the mess and tomorrow and all the racial strife in our country, or you can just put on your clothes and go down there and stand in the middle of that garbage and say, hey, let me tell you about the one who can quicken all this. Let me tell you about the one who can change all this. It frustrates me to no end. They can say Black Lives Matter, but if I say All Lives Matter, they get mad. So I say Black Lives do matter. And so does White Lives, and so do Asian Lives, and so does every life matters. Because all of us came from the same Adam and Eve. Amen. Every one of us came from the same roots. Sinners, separated from God, alienated from God. Oh, now we're getting out of the real problem. But when you start talking about that problem, you bring Jesus down in there and you start talking about life and more abundant life. And you bring Jesus down in that mess and boy, He all of a sudden, He's in a perfect place, in a perfect storm to start quickening. Amen. And nothing can change this world like the gospel can. It's not who's going to be in the White House. Although you ought to vote in November and you all go to the polls, and we've always voted against the worst of two evils, because all we've ever had in America is men that run for office, and all men are sinful. So pick the best one and vote for him. Did I just say him? That's politically incorrect too, I guess. Number 17. Because this doesn't stop in verse chapter 16. It carries over to 17. Look at verse 6. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod. The princes were the leaders, 12 tribes of Israel. So every one of the tribes gave a rod, a stick, a dead stick that was used to represent each of the 12 tribes. So they brought these sticks to Moses. these dead sticks, these rods called a staff. And they gave him a rod apiece for each prince, one according to their father's house. Even, here it is, 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up to the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of the witness. So here, get this picture. Here's Moses, and the plague has stayed. And God, Moses calls together the 12 leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. He's remembering what took place yesterday and the day before. He says, oh, bring your rod with you. Bring your staff. He brings those rods and staffs. And they bring it before Moses. Moses has always been their leader, although there's a lot of murmuring and people stuck in their minds with all the things that they had against him. And so they bought these rods, and Moses took them and brought them into the congregation. He propped up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and put them all in. Even the rod of Aaron was there. Look at what it says next, verse 8. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of the witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded. Had buds on it. And brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms. Here's what happened. He walked in the next morning and he sees these little rods, but right in the middle, whoops, right in the middle of that one little rod, he sees a tree. It's not a rod, it's now got blossoms and blooms and leaves and tree. It's a tree. A dead stick is alive. But that's not all. Aaron's rod for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms. And notice these, and yielded almonds. In 40 years ago, I was entering into middle school. And when I was in middle school, they were trying to make people choose their profession. They had a list on the paper. And that year is the year I went forward in church and I told the Lord, hey, I believe God's called me to be a preacher. Whatever that means, I'm willing to do it. Preacher told the congregation and prayed over me that day. And well, that same year, I go back to school that fall, and we had to pick a profession. And we had a list of paper with all, you know, doctors, lawyers, plumbers, electricians. I mean, had a long list of, but preacher wasn't on there. And so I told the teacher, I said, well, mine's not on here. I believe God's called me to be a preacher. Oh, well, in case that fails, Mr. Burks, you need to choose one of these other ones. Because that may not work out for you. So you need to choose another. So I chose horticulture. I figured, well, if God can't do it, then man, goodness, you know, I'll go live in the trees for the rest of my life somewhere, you know. I'll go fish and hunt and enjoy life, you know. And I remember when I read this text, something I learned about almond trees. When an almond tree is planted, there's no almond tree except the one I'm talking about in the scripture right now. There's never been an almond tree that produced any fruit on that almond tree until 5 years after it was planted. That ain't all. It usually takes 12 years to get the first almond off of an almond tree. Did you hear that? And overnight, this dead stick has blossoms on it, has blooms on it, has leaves on it, and look at there, it's got almonds all in there. Man, when I read that, I mean, overnight, Do you not think that God was not trying to tell us what you focus on expands? And you need to get your faith back on the promises of God. He's able to deliver us. My God can do anything, anything, anything. My God can do anything but fail. There's some of you in this room right here, right now, you're murmuring. What does that mean? You're stuck. There's something in your past that's stuck. Every time you go to make another decision forward, somehow that creeps back up in your mind, and that's what you think about, and you, when you think about that hurt, when you think about that bitterness, when you think about that, what that person did to you, what they said to you, how they treated you, all of a sudden now that's going to expand. It's going to grow. It's going to prevent you from stepping out by faith and on the promises of God. If this message was for you this morning, I'm begging you to take somebody down there with you in the middle of all that so it can get processed and you can find the wonderful grace of God. And He can use that experience for His glory. And the devil won't be able to use it anymore to keep you defeated. The devil is a master taking your past failures and rendering you useless to God. Useless to God. Maybe this message was for somebody in the room that that's not you you're thinking about, but it's somebody else you're thinking about. And their focus is messed up today. Their faith is shattered today. And you're meditating about them throughout this message. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. I'm going to ask you to get to a place today. You won't be able to do it in the time frame of the altar here. It'll take a little bit more time than that. But you'll get alone with God and get on your face before the Lord. And you'll intercede on their behalf. You'll take their name and that circumstance to the Lord. And you'll beg Him to use you to help that person. Find faith. Find the promises of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's stand together at our feet. I don't know what plagues you're facing today, but I know what the cure is.